Welcome to Curmudgeon's Corner for Sunday, July? Not July. It's June. June. I'm getting ahead of myself.
Still June.
Yeah, because...
Yep.
Yeah, getting ahead of myself. It's starting to feel slightly warm and summerish here. I know it has for a long time there in Florida, you know, ever since, you know, December or something, but...
Right.
but, you know, it's gotten... It's you know... There are only a couple weeks a year where it, like, really feels warm here, and we're not anywhere close to that yet. But it's at the point where I'm like, maybe I should, like, find the air conditioner in the garage and get it ready to, like, you know, put out and, you know, if it gets warmer.
Well, it's warm here, but I'll tell you what.
Because it's, like, it's not, like, hot, but it's, like, if like, I'm doing this in my home office right now, and last night I closed the door to the home office... And, you know, the windows were shut and stuff like that. I came in this morning and that room was warm. Simply because, like, the you know, I don't know, it heats up.
Well, anyway. It's, you have it on the second floor, right?
It's on the second floor, it's got windows, so the sun comes in, so the room
right.
warms
so,
up if you
right.
close it up.
You got the hot air rising up there, and then you get the windows at the same time. Yeah.
So, and, Yvonne notes that it's Father's Day and he's going to go see his dad. So, we're going to do a short show and, you know, my people are probably going to do something here too. I got a really nice card from my daughter, you know? So, Yvonne, this is, your last Father's Day without being a father.
Well, it's kind of like my first, like, sort of Father's Day because,
right.
I mean, the big guy is almost here.
Almost.
I mean, you know. Yeah, he's
but you got, due beginning of August, right?
Yep. So
a month and a half.
Yeah, a month and a half to go. So
yeah.
You know, so I did get a card already. I already got people wishing me Happy Father's Day let's face it. I mean, he's but the doctor says already he weighs 5 pounds. So basically, I mean, reality
at
is
at this point in a pregnancy, you've seen pictures.
Yep.
The kid's kicking.
Yep.
You know, so there's a presence there.
Yeah, it's
already.
this is not like a theoretical like in November when you know the seed was only planted. You know, there's this little tiny thing. No. There's one big guy in there, like kicking and doing and shoving and stuff happening. You know.
Yep.
So,
yep.
Oh yeah. So.
Yeah. So. Anyway, good luck with that. And we do have a couple things to talk about, though. We're going to talk about the Apple Worldwide Developer Conference. It's been a while since we really talked tech, but so yeah, this is one of those things that happens once a year, and there are announcements and stuff to talk about. And then we're going to get into the Obama immigration move. He made an announcement on a change of immigration policy that was fairly significant, fairly political, and arguably overused executive power. Speaking of fathers, hi, Alex. Anyway, so let's get started. WWDC.
Okay, well, you paid more attention to it than I did, apparently, because I knew... You know, I saw overall some of the stuff, like, you know, the new MacBook Pros and the iOS 6 is coming and the new Mac OS 10. But, I mean, and they went around a lot of the details of it. If I had more time this week, I probably would have gladly watched the video. I just didn't have the time.
Yeah, I'll watch the video at some point. I haven't watched it. I was, you know, and usually when these things happen... You know, I turn on one of the live streaming sites that they don't stream live video anymore, but they're, I should say,
they
live
blog.
Blogging.
Live
there are
blog.
Lots of places that are like doing updates every couple minutes and, you know, here's what's going on. And, you know, I forget exactly what was going on, but I was busy. I was doing other stuff. Like, I occasionally would check in and, like, when a headline was announced, I'd get a breaking news. Yes, hi, Yvonne. That's not Yvonne. Hi,
no.
Hi, Alex. Oh, Mom's coming to get Alex. We'll see you after the podcast, Alex. You can take my phone.
Or as yesterday, as they called me, somebody called me, you said, Yvonne,
I mean... Bye, Alex. I'll see you after the podcast. Yes.
So you just called me Yvonne.
I just called him Yvonne.
Yeah, you called him Yvonne, but you know, I know you're pronouncing my name, but so there you call me Yvonne, and there's some people call me Ivan.
Yeah.
Yesterday I got called Yvonne.
Yvonne, yes.
Yvonne.
Did you ever get Yvonne?
No, but that was a new one. Yvonne.
Yvonne.
And this is somebody that speaks Spanish.
The way, like, your parents said, like, Iban? Am I close?
No, because it was like, they know somebody else that's called Ives, and so it was like Ivan. 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 It was like, you know, which can sound, of course, they speak Spanish, so that was like kind of weird. But I'm like, wait, you're calling me Ivan now? Ivan? I'm like, no Ivan, but Ivan. So anyway, all right, let's move on. Okay.
And Ivan.
So,
yes. Ivan, like the terrible.
Right.
Yes.
So.
Anyway, so back to WGC.
Stuff.
There was stuff. There was lots of stuff. The biggest one immediately is sort of the new MacBook Pro with the Retina display. Mm-hmm. First of all, it's got the Retina display that everybody's like, ooh, ah. And, you know, people have gone back and forth about, like, what it would mean on a desktop. But there's almost universal agreement that on the iPhone and the iPad, it makes a huge difference. And it's like, it's something you don't feel like you need, but then once you see it, you're like, oh my God. It's like...
I know.
It looks great. It looks natural. You don't see the pixelization. It looks like you're manipulating something real instead of a picture.
Right.
And so... and then they've also done some very significant things here too. This is a MacBook Pro, no hard drive. It's all SSD RAM based.
Right.
The optical drive is gone. They've updated the ports again. It's bigger than the MacBook Air. It's basically a big MacBook Air. But you know, it's a MacBook Air with the power you expect from a MacBook Pro. There's some controversy because, a couple of the sites that, like, do upgrades and stuff are basically, like, you can't upgrade this thing. Even the memory is, like, hard soldered onto the board. You can't upgrade the memory. You know, it is what it is.
The thing, though. I mean, people don't do that shit anymore.
Lots of people still do, but, I mean, frankly...
No, but I'm talking about...
Most people know.
Exactly, that's what I'm saying. I mean, it's like there's such a small percentage of people to do that now.
Yeah, it's tiny. I mean, and you know, there are a lot of people who sort of jump up and down and say upgradability. It's your machine; you should be able to do what you want. And by the if I'm going to keep the machine for 4 or 5 years, you know, by the time I'm going to want to upgrade the storage, I'm going to want to upgrade the memory. I'm going to blah 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 blah. And okay, maybe once upon a time that was the case, but now you know. If the trade-off is smaller, lighter, more solid, you know, versus I can upgrade stuff, you know, in a few years, I'm gonna pick the nicely put together solid piece of thing, you know.
Well, let me put it this way: like I've had this MacBook Pro that I've had it for 6+ years now, right?
Yeah.
I have not versus other computers that I've had for 6 or 7 years. I remember I had my first computer that I bought, my first Mac that I bought, to be precise, because not my first computer. My first Mac I bought in September of 1989, and I kept until sometime around 2006. However, by the time it got to 2006, I mean, that machine had no semblance to the original machine.
Right.
Other than, like, the motherboard, the hard drives, the RAM, I even had swapped out the processor, the graphics card. I mean, it was the base system, but almost every subsystem attached to it had been replaced in one way or another. Whereas this laptop, the only thing I did change was the hard drive.
Right.
That's it. Okay. Nothing else. And the hard drive I changed because I ran out of space, okay, so I needed more.
Yeah, and you know, I'll tell you, like, I have the desktop right now. One of the main reasons for getting desktop, one is every once in a while it's nice to have a really big-ass screen because you get the real estate. But the other was hard drive space.
Yep.
Because at this point I have a 2 terabyte drive inside the thing, and, you know, I'm using 75% of it or something.
Right.
You know, And
you're using 1.5 terabytes?
Actually, I'm looking at it right now. I've got 1.88 terabytes used on my main drive.
Damn. Wow.
But wow.
That's impressive.
Here's the thing. Look, I've got on it, first of all, I've got my entire history going back through 20 years of computing. That's been moved from computer to computer to computer.
But I do too.
Second, every time I record one of these podcasts, it's 1 to 2 gigabytes of stuff, and I save all of it.
That'll do it.
Because I save the original.
That's 60 gigs. So 60 gigs a year times how many years have we been doing this thing?
Five. Oh, we missed it. I think the anniversary was last week.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Because we started at the beginning of June 2004, I think. No, 2000.
I think it was 2006.
Yes, six. You're right, 2006. Beginning of June 2006. So would that be, that's 6 years.
6 years? Holy shit.
I'm going to check this.
All right.
I'm going to check this. But anyway, here's the thing. I've got that. I've also got my machine making time lapses every day, and that's a shitload of video. And I'm taking video on my iPhone of the kid, and so there's all kinds of video.
One thing that I've noticed, though, I'm not sure. Well, but I don't know why my amount of disk space use has been growing slower lately.
June 3rd, 2007 was our first show of the revised Curmudgeon's Corner.
2007. Okay. Yes. So, 5 years. Wow. Well, and I do remember that it was quite more adventuresome to record the show back then.
It was more adventuresome, and it was often shorter.
Well, but a lot of reasons it wound up being shorter is because we kept screwing up the recording. We had some technical difficulties.
We did indeed. But here's one thing I was going to say. One thing I'm realizing as I'm thinking, like, I'm due in our schedule to upgrade my computer next year. So I will have to like make the decision. Do I want another desktop? Do I want a laptop? Whatever. You know, and in previous years, the last cycle, you know, and I'd switched to laptops several cycles ago, and then this last time I got a desktop again. The last two times I've gotten desktops, and part of my justification was the big screen, the drive space, whatever. Part of it was also, well, I have a laptop from work, you know. But I'll tell you, the storage aspect, more and more I'm coming to think, you know, like, yeah, I've got 1.88 terabytes on there. But the amount I actually use on a regular basis is much, much smaller than that. Tiny.
Yeah, but you're going to wind up getting something that can store that. And as far as I can see.
But that's the point. It doesn't have to be on the computer. I could throw that crap on a network drive.
That's true. We can do that now. True.
You know, I could put that stuff on a drive that's sitting on my home network that I could get at on the occasions when I actually need that stuff, which is very rare. I can find it. I could have it. I could have it hooked up to my network. I don't have to have it on the computer that I use every day. So, like, that makes something like this, which, you know, it's got 3/4 of a terabyte, I believe, is the biggest, I'm calling it a drive, even though, you know, whatever memory it is. You know, that's still a lot. That's still a lot, you know. I could definitely see that, you know.
I know, but getting back to the Worldwide Developer Conference, okay?
Oh yes,
SSD. So one of the things that you're going to come to the decision point, myself included, by the way, because I don't think I can go at least one more year without getting a new computer.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. It's just not going to be, you know, realistic. SSD makes it that, I mean, at this point, you have to make some kind of a choice. I mean, I mean, because the problem is that 512 gigabytes of space doesn't, I mean, I don't know if I'm comfortable getting a computer with only 512 gigs of disk space.
I thought it maxed out. Yeah, you're right. It maxes at 512.
Yeah.
I thought it was maxing at 7, whatever. Okay,
with that kind of space.
But that's the whole thing. There is, though, you know, think about how much you actually need with you.
I know, and I get that.
Like, and you throw all that stuff on a network drive at home to get it whenever you need it.
I just feel uncomfortable at this
stage.
Or
on the cloud.
I know. I just feel uncomfortable yet at this stage.
I understand what you're saying, and you know, last time around, I certainly felt that way. I couldn't imagine the thought of not having my main machine have all of my stuff.
Right.
You know, right. And yes, I back it up all over the place so that it's not the only place it is. So, like, if I have a laptop still. And it gets stolen, you know, but now I can imagine that. Now I'm like, look, you know, I don't use, you know, 99.5% of that stuff is not used on a regular basis.
But I'll tell you what I've been leaning to because of that, okay? Yeah. What I've been leaning to is to get myself to get a large iMac with fucking like 4 terabytes of storage, whatever the heck it is.
And a laptop. And,
no. And an iPad.
Right. Okay.
And you know what? Let's face it. You can get a program. You
can do
can connect from your iPad to get everything that's on your desktop. You go to my PC. You can do whatever.
Yeah. There are all kinds of ways to share information.
Right.
You know. When you need it. And 99% of what you need when you're not sitting at your desk, you can do with your iPad. I mean, maybe not 99%.
And then when you want the big screen, I could go and sit down in my office and, you know, and me and my wife use it regularly. Like, go and, like, you know, like, we do a whole bunch of business stuff. Okay?
Yeah, I still want the iPad. Like I said, I made that sort of deal that I got the car I wanted and I'm not getting an iPad this year. But... damn it. But you know, most of what I do on a moment-to-moment basis, I mean, reading news, email, messaging, blah, 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 blah.
On the iPad.
You can do all that stuff on the iPad, absolutely.
And if I can access what's on my desktop from the iPad, then I'm perfect to go.
Yeah, although there's some weirdnesses controlling a desktop from a portable device. I've done
it before. I get it, but a lot of the times, I'm not talking that you're going to be doing tons of work. The only reason you're doing it is more just to access stuff sometimes.
Absolutely. And I can definitely see that as a possibility for next time around. You know, a nice big iMac or whatever they have next year and an iPad. That's a good combination. But like... You know, it all depends, though, what you want to do portably. Like, I'll tell you, like, one of the things I do, for instance, right now, and this won't apply next year, but, you know, I'm doing these election updates all the time on my website. The stuff required to do that I could not do on an iPad, or at least not easily.
But if you could access the application on your desktop from the iPad,
it'd be a pain in the ass. Yeah, I'm doing lots of...
Get the whole little thing. You buy that little portable mouse, I saw that thing with a little keyboard that folds into the thing, and you just go click, 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 and do it?
I'm sorry. This is something... This is the kind of task, and there are many tasks that are like this. They're just less common, where, you know, if I'm not doing that at my desktop, I'm going to want a laptop for that.
Or you could connect from your work laptop to your... desktop at home, and then
that's the thing. As long as I have a work laptop, well, what the fuck, you know?
Right, exactly.
So,
why carry?
And so this was part of my logic before. Like, why would I get a laptop of my own? Like, I'm going to get a desktop at home, and then when I need a laptop, I've got the one from work, and work is not too uptight about me using it for random things. Like, I'm not going to, like, you know, be.
Yep. You're not going to store, like, movies to make available for download on a torrent or something, whatever, from your laptop.
I'm not going to do illegal things.
Exactly.
I'm not going to do things that potentially...
You're not going to be surfing porn from the office or anything like that.
Not usually, no.
No.
Yeah, not that kind of stuff. But, you know, if I need to check my email on it, or even if every once in a while I want to update my politics spreadsheet from it.
Or pay a bill or something. Yeah, you can do it from there.
Yeah, so, I don't know. Anyway, let's take a quick break. Then we'll try to wrap up the rest of WWDC and save a little bit for the immigration stuff and still get Yvonne out early. So we'll be right back after this.
Da 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 da
Okay, we are here.
Okay, so I'm looking at the features for iOS 6. Okay,
iOS they've got 6, this, yes.
Okay, they've got this thing here where they've got a list of new features. Number one, the whole map thing. Okay, where they basically are saying bye-bye to...
bye-bye to Google. Hello to free turn-by-turn directions.
Right.
And look, yeah, here's one thing, and I've been... You know this. I've mentioned this before on the show. I've tried out a whole bunch of navigation apps on the iPhone. Mm-hmm. I haven't tried all of them. There's too many to have tried all of them, and some of them are too expensive to especially be trying a bunch of them. But, you know, I've tried about a whole bunch. I've tried... there are a number of really good ones. The Garmin one is really good. I personally use Waze most of the time. Garmin has a bit nicer interface, but Waze has a little bit better information, blah, 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 trade-offs. But, you know, if Apple does as good a job with their navigation app as they tend to do with things...
You're not going to buy one of these freaking apps.
All of these other things are going to be gone. Forget it. And like, you know, I mean, and this is even for me who have used a bunch and I'm very picky about them, blah, blah, blah. For anybody who just gets a phone, oh, it's got it already. I'm not even going to think about it.
Well,
done.
Now, I noticed that one of the things, I don't know if you saw the deal that they cut.
I must point out, Android has had free turn-by-turn navigation built in for over a year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's something they've had for a long time. So this is not like a new groundbreaking thing in general, but it's a new groundbreaking thing for the iPhone. And we'll see. It's Apple's first time out. Every once in a while, they don't do the best job.
But this is the one thing I was going to mention about this. Apparently, I don't know if you saw the whole thing about the maps, but I saw that on the side, they cut a deal apparently with the guys from TomTom.
This is mapped. They've got stuff from TomTom. They've got stuff from OpenStreetMap. They've got stuff from some other sources.
Right.
I'm wondering how much of the under the covers is actually run by TomTom.
Right.
Obviously, they haven't copied the UI exactly,
no. But
they might be copying like routing logic or something. Now,
I had a TomTom, by the way.
In general,
that got stolen. Okay, but I had one. I will admit that the navigation on that probably one of the best that I've used of anything like built-in nav, like on like I don't know. I've tried a whole bunch of navs, in different cars and whatever. It was one of the best.
Like I had a TomTom for a short amount of time. It was a gift. I've generally been a Garmin guy, and I liked Garmin better, but TomTom was solid. Yeah.
I liked it for – you see, the thing is that you were a power user with your – whatever.
Yes, I was.
What I found was that for the actual – just the driving directions, okay, all right, and turns and how to show you where to turn and whatever, it was – I found it better than any of the other ones I used.
And
okay?
I still like Garmin better even for that stuff because I haven't been using the power user stuff in a few years. But
okay.
But, you know, anyway, like – Apple tends to not come out with something until they've got it pretty solid. And maybe Siri's an exception. I don't know.
Okay, so that, yeah. Because I'm still like, I don't know. Yesterday I got annoyed with Siri because I kept telling it to, like if I tell Siri Starbucks, for example, it will find me the closest Starbucks or whatever. But the other day it kept showing me Starbucks that were near my house, not near where I was. And it kept saying, check your current location, and then showed me something 20 fucking miles away. So I'm like, you know, really? Okay, so that annoyed me. And then yesterday, I kept telling it to show me the closest Publix, okay? You know, supermarket, Publix.
Yes,
it kept thinking I said, please.
Oh, okay. Better than
I'm
Cubic.
Like, no. It kept fucking thinking, I said, Publix, Public. No, I said it like five times. It kept thinking I was telling it, please. I was really
anyway,
annoyed.
Assuming that they do their usual sort of kick-ass job, I expect this to be a very good navigation system. Now, usually, like, and this from a power user perspective, usually Apple's first time out of the gates is very, very solid and very user-friendly in what it offers, but is missing a lot of power features. Because they concentrate on the core experience.
Okay.
And I can't fault that logic. So there may end up being some things that I wish it would do that the others do that it doesn't. But we'll see. If you are Garmin, if you are TomTom, I mean, TomTom obviously got some money out of this deal. But if you are a manufacturer of a standalone GPS system, you're just crying. You are dead. I am sorry. Like, your sources of potential income are going away by the day. Like, you know, because for a while it was like, okay, the logic for the standalone units is going down. The market's going to be much smaller because people are going to be using their smartphones. But at least you build the smartphone app and you get that money. But now the smartphone, Android a year ago, now the iPhone, it's going to all be built in. You're freaking screwed. And, you know, maybe TomTom's getting enough money out of this that they're still happy. I don't know. But, you know.
Well, I think the biggest part that I saw, it had to do a lot with the maps. Okay.
Yes, yes. All right.
But that's worth money.
The question is how much they pay. But, which is a secret, of course. But, now, there are other areas. I mean, like, these manufacturers do the integrated built-in units. Those are generally, like, done in combination with one of these vendors. And, like, they do other stuff, too. Like, you know, Garmin does aircraft GPSs and
aircraft finders
and ships and all this kind of stuff. So, you know, they've got other sources. But the automotive directions thing, you know, why would anybody spend money on one of these third-party standalone tools?
No reason whatsoever. None. I mean, you would use – the only two things you would do is either the car has a built-in one that you use or you use the one on your phone. That's it.
Yeah. So
I mean, BMW right now has integration with Google Maps that you're at home and you map a route and you can send it to your car. You just get to your car and you just click and you're on your way. Why the fuck would you use anything else?
Yeah. I mean, between the phones and the built-in car ones, now I tend to still prefer like the software ones that are easily upgradable to anything built into a car, but...
They're making that right now for the cars right now, where they're allowing now even software upgrades and stuff like that.
I understand, but you can't upgrade the hardware. You know, like to me, like, okay, this is different for people who change their cars every 3 years. I intend to keep a car 20 years. There's no way, or at least 15, there's no way in hell I will want to be using 15-year-old GPS technology at the end of that time frame.
Well, yeah, 15, yeah. I will say this, that my GPS technology in my car is still 6 years old, and I will say this, it's still better than some of the other shit that I've been fucking using. Oh, gosh, you know, it's like, yeah, it's I get updated maps, and honestly, I'm perfectly happy with it.
Anyway, so, moving on features, integration with Facebook.
What's the Facebook thing? What do you think about this?
A lot of people will use it.
I'm wondering what – I mean, the reason I'm – I focused a little bit on this. It had to do a little bit with, you know, Facebook said they're going to launch a phone and all this other stuff. And then all of a sudden, this.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering what – I mean, what do you think is happening behind the scenes on this thing?
Well, you know, this is – it was considered a miss when they launched Twitter integration with iOS 5. And didn't include Facebook integration. It was because Apple and Facebook couldn't come to a deal. Mm-hmm. Because, who knows the business details of that, but they couldn't come to a deal. They came to a deal. And I mean, this is a big, you know, like, I think it was clearly a missing thing. Because while personally, I probably wouldn't share a lot to Facebook this way, this makes it like, I take a picture, I hit a button, it's on Facebook.
It's on Facebook, right.
I see an article I like, I click a button, it's on Facebook, done. You know, like in terms of making that sharing completely streamlined, you need this kind of integration. You need like the single click button to get from the thing on your phone straight to Facebook. Like before, I mean, you could certainly do this. You could take the picture, then you could go into the Facebook app, then you could pick the picture and put it up. But you got like five or six steps there. Now, you know, you click the it's like one click. Boom, you're done. And you're going to see a lot more of this.
No. I like it. I think it'll work. Okay, that's Facebook.
Passbook.
Did you look at this thing?
At what? Passbook? No, Passbook. I didn't look at Passbook.
Okay, so this one, and I like kind of like
this one. Honestly, seems more gimmicky to me.
Why?
Like I don't know. Like I could not see myself using this.
Really?
Yeah. Well, why? Now, keep in mind, I'm also one. I don't use the loyalty cards.
But this is not about loyalty cards. I'm looking at here, like, for example, I see, like, boarding passes for travel, tickets to sporting events.
See, I'll tell you reason number one. I just don't do these things very often.
Okay.
You know, I travel maybe once a year. I go to something, a concert or something with a ticket maybe two or three times a year. And maybe they'll have support for this, maybe they won't. And I could see myself using it under certain circumstances, but, you know, what's wrong with printing out the damn thing and taking it with you? I don't know. I'm being curmudgeonly.
I will say this. It's kind of a pain in the ass, okay? All right? I mean, you know, I do print it, and I keep, you know, and I walk up, and I check in, and whatever, whatnot, but to be honest with you, I mean, I don't know. I've been to, like... You know, I was at a sporting event last week. I mean, I'll probably be to my third sporting event in a month. Okay, right. Like on Tuesday. Okay,
I was just gonna say one big thing is the degree of adoption. Like, if this is everywhere, okay, I could see myself using it. If this is at like, okay, it's at Starbucks, and it's at like one or two other places, but it's like, I don't know, like.
Right, if it gets adopted,
it has to be
broadly,
everywhere, and it has to be ubiquitous.
And that way,
I'm not going to be the one dork pulling out my phone out of, like, you know, when nobody else is.
Okay, all right. I'm going to go to another feature that I saw in here, which I got to admit, this was a glaring omission, okay, which they just fixed, okay?
Yeah.
Because unless you know how to do this, because I there's no way to do this. Before, when you got a call and your phone was locked, the only thing you could do is answer it or, like, just ignore it.
Yeah.
Okay? There was nothing else you could do. You couldn't just say decline. The only way you could decline was if the phone was unlocked. Okay?
Right.
And
could decline by hitting the button on the top.
But no, but that wouldn't send it to voicemail. Like, stop it from ringing. No. No. You are incorrect.
Oh, okay. It would stop it from ringing. They listened to it ring for a couple more times.
Because you wanted to send that phone call immediately to voicemail.
You know, actually, I don't. I wish the decline button didn't do that. Because if they do that, then they know that you're sitting there declining their call
I wanted them to know that I'm declining their call. I want some people not to know, and I want some people to know that I'm declining their call.
Yeah, okay. Generally, when I've declined,
you don't talk on the phone anyway. What the hell do you know?
Because I don't want them to know that
you don't talk on the phone. How many calls you get a week?
I don't know, two maybe.
Exactly. Okay. All right.
But when I do get a call, I almost always want to ignore it.
God's sakes! Fucking brilliant. Well, for those of us that spend a lot more time on the phone. This, okay, the feature that, you know, allows me to pick what the fuck I want to do is a hell of a lot better, okay? All right? Not for nothing. But I will say this.
Including, by the way, reply to message with pre-made responses.
Right. Exactly.
Like, you can hit reply to message, and then it brings up buttons for I'll call you later,
right.
I'm on my way.
I'm in a meeting. I want to call you fucking later. You know, whatever. So I want to do that. But here's another – but I will say this. The other thing that I did like about this is – the ability to, like, program your phone not to receive calls during certain hours.
Yeah.
And to allow calls to only go through from people who you want – that you want. Okay?
And also a remind me later button to remind you to call somebody back.
Right. I like that. Now that I like very, very much. Because, look, you get – I've got an employee right now, okay, that I went and I was like – saying that I'm going to have to set parental controls on their computer because they just will not stop working. Okay. All right. That no matter what the hour is, and that's not healthy. Okay. All right. I mean, I got an email yesterday from, I actually lectured them about this on Friday afternoon past 5 o'clock. They called me at 5:10. I was already at a bar having a drink, and I am like, you know what? I'm at a bar having a drink, and you know what? You should be too. Was my response. Okay. All right. Okay. And then after I tell them this, the next morning at 8 a.m., they reply to a work email.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, you know what? I swear to God.
I think we all have people like that at work.
Jesus Christ. Stop. I told them, Monday will be another day. And you know what? The world will not end because you didn't answer this fucking email until Monday morning. All right.
Okay, like, so
moving on, let me just
hit the things. We mentioned Siri briefly, but they've added more stuff to Siri and hopefully improved its recognition.
They've said they're working on improving the recognition. I hope it does because I like Siri when it works.
Yeah.
Very much.
And then shared photo streams. One of the things that when they moved to iCloud, they took away was a way to share photos online easily. They've now bringing that back. So far, they're announcing it for iOS. I presume it'll be in iPhoto and stuff on the Mac, too, at some point. Yeah. FaceTime now over cellular, which it should have been all along.
Should have been all along,
because
anyway.
It really limited its usefulness.
For the most part,
I use Skype when I want to do the video chat thing for two reasons. One is that more people have Skype than have FaceTime, and the other was the cellular only, the Wi-Fi only thing.
Well, problem solved with that.
Problem solved on the first one. FaceTime now will, I guess they have the Messenger thing, so you can do it from your computer as well. But Skype could be anybody. Skype could be Android phones. So I think FaceTime is still limited until... Yeah, if they put out an Android version of FaceTime, okay, maybe. You know, but right now Skype is still more common, but this is going to be less so. Like, I mean, there are going to be a lot of people who have their iPhones and don't install shit, but they're going to have FaceTime.
Right.
We talked about the phone. They've improved the mail program some more. Biggest thing here is a VIP inbox to have sort of your important people come, you know, to a separate inbox all the time. Which is cool, and also I can
have your message. By the way, my computer keeps thinking your email is junk. Okay, all right.
Yeah.
Apparently you're not getting to the VIP.
But me in your address book.
I have you in there, which I don't understand why this.
Check your preferences about address excluding address book. I don't know. But mine screws that up sometimes, too. Like, even though I've got myself in my address book and I have the mail program set to, if you're in my address book, let me into the inbox, no matter fucking what. Every once in a while, mail that I send myself still ends up in the mail.
Exactly. That happens to me. I don't know why it does that, but...
I don't know. Anyway, improvements with mail. And I think also they've got a thing where you can also set it so mail from your VIPs potentially also notifies you. With like a pop-up or you know whatever the iOS notifications normally are, they've got several options. You could do that too.
Well, here's something that they brought back on Safari, by the way. When I had iCloud, the other thing is Mobile Me.
Yes,
I could synchronize favorites and like other stuff and whatever, and they took that fucking away, which drove me crazy.
And now it's back.
And now it's back.
And now you can have your bookmarks. And your tab, and no, actually, not only your bookmarks. First of all, let's say this. First of all, yes, you can resync your bookmarks. So you can have the same bookmarks on your computer, your iPad, your iPhone, etc. But more so, you can have it set to actually sync your surfing. So you're on some website on your computer, you walk away, you pick up your iPhone, you're on the same damn page.
Yep, I like that.
Yeah. I can see that being cool. Yes. In a few areas, sometimes I want to be doing different things, but, you know, whatever. I'm sure I can work around that. And I guess we're wrapping this up here. There's some accessibility improvements, some Find My Phone, my iPhone and Find My Friends improvement. You should put me on Find My Friends so I can know where you are at all times, Yvonne.
Do I have Find My... I didn't know this feature existed. Really?
Oh, it exists. It's a separate app you download right now.
But then you invite
people and you can see where they are on a little map.
Honestly, I don't want people to find me that easily.
So I have this just for our family. So like the three of us are on there and synced with each other. And so like at any time, I can pop open my phone and see where my wife is and where my daughter are.
Mm-hmm.
And they can see where I am. So, it's... You know, and there is a feature, by the way, that you can hide yourself temporarily and things like that if you want to. But, like, you know, my daughter hides herself, she's in trouble, you know. Because you know she's doing something bad. I'm kidding. She's very good. Very well behaved most of the time. When she's not crashing her car.
Right.
What? Where? So I will mention this real quick. 4 months of a driver's license.
How many accidents?
One involving another vehicle where she turned into somebody in a lane in traffic and just minor scratch in the car, but it did involve another vehicle. Ran into two poles. One dent in the front right. One
two poles?
Two poles.
Two poles?
Two poles in parking lots. The first one resulted in a dent in the front right fender. The second one smashed out the back window. It's a van. She backed into a fire hydrant. And one speeding ticket for going 37 in a 25 zone.
That's ticky tacky.
Anyway, that's
really fucking annoying. Well, I will say this: she seems to have learned very well from you how to drive.
Hey, I have not been in any sort of motor vehicle incident since I ran into a pole 6 months ago.
You ran into a pole?
Well, yeah.
Exactly.
In a parking garage.
Exactly. Yeah. Right. She's learned very well from you.
I thought I was in the middle space. I didn't realize I was next to a pole. I started to back out, clunk.
Was this on the new car?
No, the old car. It was like
God.
A year ago, actually. But but that was the first incident.
Well,
in many
look,
years.
I have been in I have been in knock on wood in one accident in 17 or 18 years. Okay, and that involved me hitting the wall of my garage driving in my car.
There you go. Yeah. On one of the vacations we like went on together, you hit a porcupine.
Yes, but it was a rental car, and I did not cause any damage to the car. I probably caused a lot more damage to the porcupine, and I mean, in my defense, I mean how are you gonna count that? That son of a bitch just raced out into the middle of the road.
Did we even notice hitting it? I thought we just noticed the quills
on
the wheel.
Yes, I felt hitting the damn porcupine. Yes, I knew if I hit it. And then we found you took picture of the poor little guys, you know, whatchamacallit.
Quills all over the wheel.
Yes, all over the wheel.
Yeah.
So,
I think we should take a break. We probably need to finish up pretty quick because you need to go. But let's take a break and let's do like a handful of minutes on the immigration stuff.
Yeah, let's go.
So we'll be right back after this. And here we are. Before we talk immigration, I just want to say real quick, we didn't talk at all about the new macOS Mountain Lion that's coming out. It's coming out and available to download in only a couple weeks, so let's talk about it once it's out.
Okay, that's a good idea.
Okay,
all right.
So, Obama immigration, he announced, like, this has been this thing, you know, bouncing around for a while called the DREAM Act, which is basically the idea of taking, you know, you've got the illegal immigrants, and then you've got people who come into the United States illegally and bring their small children with them. And the small children grow up in the United States, have never known any other place but they're still technically illegal. And current U.S. policy has been, if we find out about these folks, we deport them. So you could have, like, you know, an 18-year-old kid who's just graduating college, or I guess a 20-year-old yeah. kid, 21-year-old kid, whatever, who's graduating college, and then has no memory of any place other than living in the United States. They find out it is illegal. Oh, sorry, you have to go back to Guatemala. Or wherever.
Or wherever.
Or wherever.
In a country, maybe a language you don't even know.
Yeah.
You get set, right.
Yeah.
Or know anybody, period.
Don't know anybody, don't know the language, don't necessarily still have relatives there. But sorry, that's where you belong. That's current policy. Now, a lot of folks have felt that this isn't quite fair. And that there should be something that could be done. Forget about the people who actually, like, cross the border illegally, knowingly. But these kids, come on. There's got to, you know, maybe you could do something a little nicer than, you know, toss them out on their ass. And so this has been percolating, and the Democrats have been in favor of it, and even some Republicans have been for it, but not enough to get through anywhere. So it's been blocked repeatedly. So Obama basically, and so the idea of the DREAM Act was you don't deport these people, you give them work visas, and you give them a path to citizenship. But now Obama couldn't do all of that by executive fiat, but he could do most of it, apparently. So basically he just gave a directive to the agencies who enforce immigration to not enforce it in these cases, and to potentially give these people work permits. He can't do anything about the citizenship without Congress, apparently. But he did this, and there's a lot of political implications here about solidifying the Democratic base and appealing to Latinos, because this is mainly aimed in that direction, even though theoretically it could apply to German immigrants too. And then the response has mainly been because, you know, Republicans don't, well, I don't know. The response has mainly been about executive power, though, which I actually agree with. This is the president deciding explicitly to ignore a law. And I don't necessarily agree with the law. I think something like the DREAM Act is probably a good idea. But I don't feel good about presidents just deciding, you know, I like this law, and so I'm going to enforce it, but I don't like that law, so I'm not going to enforce that. You know?
Well, but I know
there's room for prosecutorial discretion in general in deciding when you want, but I don't know. Even when it's for, you know, a potentially good cause, I don't like the president being able to make those decisions on their own. That's why we have a Congress.
Well, my question about this is that I am not exactly sure whether by simply giving people extended asylum, which is basically what you're doing,
yeah,
you're bending or violating any law. I don't know if explicitly by doing this,
The current law says if you find an illegal immigrant, you deport them.
I don't think it actually states that. I mean, I don't think it's that.
It's probably not that clear cut.
That's what I'm saying. Okay, it's my. I mean,
you're right. It's probably a lot more complicated.
Exactly.
The
immigration law is a very long and lengthy, complex document, under many reasons,
and obviously, prosecutorial discretion is at play anyway. They don't report. Yeah, how many illegal immigrants are there in this country? We don't deport all of them. We deport a very small fraction of them.
Right. So I honestly, you know, in terms of that part, I do agree. I mean, you know, I am also a guy who also believes in, like, we're going to do something, let's pass a law to it. But, you know, it's like this fucking Congress, I mean, in general. I mean,
yeah,
I'm not like,
you know, and I know that.
No,
argument,
I mean, let's face it, we haven't passed a budget in how long? Like right now?
I know, but look, here's the thing.
I mean, we're at a point right now that this is just, we're in such a, we are in such a dysfunction right now.
But if we say the answer to Congress not being able to do its job is the president just does everything on his own.
No, I don't agree with that either. I know. I know. But I just.
I mean, we're just giving the president more and more and more power.
But that's
and
Congress's fault.
Oh, it's absolutely Congress's fault. I mean, the fact that the power of the presidency has been growing for 200 years is 100% the Congress's fault. The Congress is not defending its own prerogatives. I mean,
no.
The notion of the founders was that they would set up these institutions where everybody would defend their own prerogatives, and so the Congress wouldn't let the president do any certain things because, goddammit, that was the Congress's job.
I think the judiciary has done a far better job of making sure that their stake in the three, you know, pillars of our government system is enforced.
But even so, they defer from some things. But
they defer for some things, but they have, but they haven't, like, the Congress, like, honestly, I mean,
Congress
it's abdicated its whole fucking responsibility.
Congress
to do
as a whole would prefer it if you paid them to go and sit there and take money from lobbyists and never have to actually make a decision on anything.
Pretty much. That sounds about right. Yeah.
You know, and yes, in the structure of, you know, the way that things are currently set up with the filibuster and blah, 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 and the current party composition, nobody's getting jack shit done. You know, the Senate could change their rules. The Senate could get rid of the filibuster.
That's right.
And you could do it by a majority vote if you do it at the beginning of a session. You don't even need the 2/3 majority to do it. Of course, neither side wants to do it because they want to preserve it for when they're the minority party. Because nobody actually wants to get shit done.
I'm finishing right now.
You know, so anyway. It's,
all right.
It's frustrating.
Okay, well, I got to run. Okay.
Avon's
got
to run. I think this will be... it'll be interesting to watch this play out. It's an interesting political move. The timing is interesting and slightly suspicious. But, you know, whatever. That's how politics is played. So, goodbye, Yvonne. Thank you for joining us for Curmudgeon's Corner. As usual, email me at abelsmay@abelsmay.com. And we'll talk again next week. Goodbye. Have fun
Bye-bye.
With your father, Yvonne.